Yashodanandana Braja Janaranjana Yashodanandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Radha Madhava Radhe Jaya Pancha Tattva Jaya Pancha Tattva Pancha Tattva Jaya Pancha Tattva Jaya Nrisimhadev 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 Jaya Nrisimhadev Jaya Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada
Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahansa Parivrajakachara Stotra Shata Shri Shriman, His Divine Grace, Esi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya Shri Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Premsekaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Ki, Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinata Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan ki Shri Vrindavan Dham ki Jai Shri Mayapur Dham ki Jai Ganga Mai ki Jai Shri Mayapur Dham ki Jai Bhakti Devi Tulasi Maharani ki Jai Shri Harinama Sankirtana Yagya ki Jai Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Go All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Fourth Canto, Chapter 14, Verse 11. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nirupita Prajapala. Nirupita Prajapala. Sajigham Sativai Prajaham. Sajigham Sativai Prajaham. Tathapi Santvai Mamun. Tathapi Santvai Mamun. Nasman Statpatakam Sprishit. Nasman Statpatakam Sprishit. Nirupita Prajapalam. Sajigham Sativai Prajaham. Tatapi Santvai Mamun. Nasman Statpatakam Sprishit. Nirupita Prajapala. Sajigham Sativai Praja. Tatapi Santvai Mamun. Nasman Statpatakam Sprishit. Nirupita Prajapala. Sajigham Sativai Praja. Tatapi Santvai Mamun. Nasman Statpatakam Sprishit. Nirupita Prajapala. Sajigham Sativai Praja. Tatapi Santvai Mamun. Nasman Statpatakam Sprishit. Nirupita Prajapala. Sajigham Sativai Praja. Tatapi Santvai Mamun. Nasman Statpatakam Sprishit.
Word for word.
Nirupita. Appointed. Prajapala.
The king.
Saham.
He.
J. Jighansati desires to harm by certainly Praja, the citizens, Tatha api, nevertheless, Santvayimam, we should pacify among him, na, not as man, us, tat, his, patakam, sinful result, sprishit, may touch. Translation por porta para Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada aqui, Jhan. We appointed this Vena king of the state in order to give protection to the citizens. But now he has become the enemy of the citizens. Despite all these discrepancies, we should at once try to pacify him. By doing so, we may not be touched by the sinful results caused by him. Please repeat. We appointed this Vena king of the state in order to give protection to the citizens. But now he has become the enemy of the citizens. Despite all these discrepancies, we should at once try to pacify him. By doing so, we may not be touched by the sinful results caused by him. Purport. The saintly sages elected King Vena to become king, but he proved to be mischievous. Therefore, the sages were very much afraid of incurring sinful reaction. The law of karma prohibits a person even to associate with a mischievous individual. By electing Vena to the throne, the saintly sages certainly associated with him. Ultimately, King Vena became so mischievous that the saintly sages actually became afraid of becoming contaminated by his activities. Thus, before taking any action against him, the sages tried to pacify and correct him so that he might turn from his mischief. Oma jnana timirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurum militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha katanchana smriti yasmin duskaram sukaram bhavet vismriti viparitam syat shri chaitanya namamitam. The symptom of a saintly person is that he can be softer than a rose and harder than a thunderbolt. There is a Sanskrit saying, Kusumadapi Komala Vajradapi Katora. So a saintly person can sometimes be very harsh and the next moment be very soft. So here we see the sages. Even though King Vena was not qualified, but still somehow they gave him a chance. He has some qualities, he's a strong personality, he may be able to control the state. And if by taking that position he becomes a well-doer for the citizens, if he can help these people by protecting them, then it will be good for the people, it will be good for him. So they tried, they put him in that position, even though they knew that his character was not good. So they're very soft. Now he has been doing so much mischief and creating so much problem, so they're going to speak to him. They see he's doing many wrong things. He's actually becoming the enemy of people. Instead of becoming the protector, he became a threatened to his own people. So they want to speak to him and try to enlighten him. So they are being very kind. If that doesn't work, they can also be very harsh. No? So the principle is that a saintly person, he is actually not under the modes of material nature. So when he is soft, it's not because he is attached to the mode of goodness. And when he is harsh, it's not because he is overcome by ignorance. So he can either be soft or be very strong, but in either case he's beyond the modes. He can utilize any kind of emotion in his service for the benefit of others, but he's not actually overcome by them. So we see that in the example of many saintly people. No? And Prabhupada was very, many occasions he displayed that feature. We are reading in the book by Mukunda Goswami, a story of how Prabhupada once became very, very angry at his servant because he was taking rest, and a person came to see Prabhupada. And this person came from very far away. He traveled many, many hours by bus. He had to change bus 6 times and had to wait for 2 hours. And then he was there waiting for Prabhupada, and the servant wouldn't call Prabhupada because he thought Prabhupada is taking rest, so nobody should disturb him. But Prabhupada had already spoken to that person. He was waiting him, and he wanted to help ISKCON. He wanted to give a big donation or something like that. And Prabhupada was expecting his visit. So, but the devotee, he didn't have the discrimination to see this is a very important meeting, and Prabhupada is waiting this person, and he has come from far away, and he wants to help. So, but he didn't call Srila Prabhupada. So later on, when Prabhupada woke up and he came to know that this person came from so far, he took so much trouble to visit him. He waited for 2 hours and still the servant didn't call Srila Prabhupada. So he became very, very angry. He chastised heavily that servant because he had no discrimination. So Mukunda Maharaj saw that, and then he thought that was such a serious mistake, that Prabhupada would be upset with that devotee for many days. But then, the next day, he came back and he saw Prabhupada dealing very nicely with his servant. And he was thinking, how is that possible, no? Prabhupada was so angry at him, like a thunderbolt. But now he's so soft, so such a nice dealing. And then, he came in front of Prabhupada, and Prabhupada instead chastised him. That, look at your clothes, no? You're preaching in London, but you have this, look at your clothes, you're all dirty. It's not proper. First you have to dress and then address. So look at my servant. Look how nicely he's dressed. So the same servant that Prabhupada had chastised so heavily in front of him, now Prabhupada was praising him. No? So he was surprised how he could, like, in one moment be so heavy and another moment be so appreciative of the same person. So this is one example. I heard other stories like that. And it's a symptom of a saintly person, that he's actually not affected, even if he's chastising someone, but he's not actually angry. He's not affected by the mode of ignorance. He's not really keeping anything grudging against the person. He's just using that because of the situation for the benefit of that person. So a parent has to learn to be like that. A teacher has to learn to be like that. And a guru especially has to learn to be like that. You know? Because when a disciple does something wrong, or a child is doing something wrong, then you have to become angry at that behavior, because the behavior has to be corrected, but you should not hate the person. Actually, you should love the person. And lovingly you have to correct, but sometimes you express in a harsh way, because it requires that energy to correct the mistake. So here you are going to see in this pastime, the same principle is going on. The sages, they are very soft, they are very compassionate, they want the benefit of everyone, including the king, but at the same time they are ready to take strong action if necessary, and they are going to do that. So, but even when they do that, still they are doing out of compassion and out of being well-wishers. So when they decide to kill the king, King Vena is going to be killed by the sages, but it's for his own good. Because if he would allow him to go on like that, blaspheming the Lord, and stopping religious principles, then he'd go to hell. But instead, they took him, and they did the best of him. So they took his body, and from his body, they churned, and they got Prithu Maharaj, and Prithu Maharaj was a great king. So they found they were able to find a way by which King Vena could be useful. So like that, he became the father of Prithu Maharaj, and that was good for him, and that was good for everybody else. So that's another symptom of a saintly person, that he's always a well-wisher of everyone. The Bhagavad Gita describes, no? Sarva bhutatma bhutatma, that a devotee, he can place himself in the place of everyone. He's very empathetic and very sympathetic. He can understand people's heart. No? And it's a symptom of a devotee. Shukadeva Goswami also Shrimad Bhagavatam is described in a similar way. Sarva bhuta haridayam muni manatosmi, that I offer my obeisance to this muni, Shukadeva Goswami, who is able to enter the hearts of all. So like that, you see again and again the description of how devotees, they can understand the hearts of the other people, and they are always well-wishers. They want to do well to everybody. So Prabhupada translates that sarva bhutatma bhutatma, that a devotee is dear to everyone, and everyone is dear to him. Well, the six Goswamis also described like that, no? They are dear to everyone. So to be like that, no, requires purity, requires being completely purified from selfishness. How can we be a well-wisher of someone that is actually doing something wrong, that sometimes is going against our plans, or is doing something that frustrates our attempts of achieving some result? So if we have some selfish motive, we cannot have this kind of dealings. Because whenever someone is going against our desire, then they're going to get angry. So first one has to actually become purified, go beyond the modes of nature, and have a very pure, how to say, intention, or the motives have to be very pure. If the motive is pure, if you're always trying to do good to others, and if you are detached from anything for yourself, then you can behave like that. Now, even if someone is doing something against your desires. No? So, but how can we achieve that? How can we develop that kind of well-wishing attitude towards everybody, no? Even if it's against our own interest. So we see that they're described here as saintly sages. So saintly means that they have a very strong connection with Krishna. And there's no other way to actually develop good relationships unless we can develop first a relationship with Krishna. So in the material world, everybody has many relationships, but usually the relationships here are very, very difficult. They're the most difficult thing in this world, no? To relate with other people and to have smooth relationships, to have loving feelings and exchange with everybody, is very difficult. Usually when you have many relationships, we have many clashes with different people. Because we have some desire, some goals to achieve, and they have different goals to achieve. So everybody is working for a different goal, and therefore there is clash. So the only way to avoid clash is when we have always the same center, no? If everybody is centered on Krishna, so nobody is going to clash. Sometimes I saw a graphic representation of that. If you have one point, one dot in a wall, and you make a circle around that dot, and then taking the same dot, you make another circle with a bigger compass, and then you make other circle, and you can make as many as you want, having the same center, and they're not going to cross each other, because they all have the same center. But if you have more than one center, then there's going to be conflict. And so same thing is, if the devotee is centered in Krishna, then he can always be the well-wisher of everyone, always thinking of their well-being in relationship to Krishna. So like that, the mother can cultivate relationship with Krishna and develop that loving relationship with Krishna. Then you can also appreciate others and you can also have affectionate dealings with others and become the well-wisher of everyone. So basically the whole Bhagavatam deals with that, showing how the devotees, different types of devotees, they relate with the Supreme Lord, and how the devotees, they relate among each other. It's always like that, no? We always see Krishna in relationship with his devotees, and we always learn how he exchanged the most perfect relationship with all of them. So in one sense you can say that Srimad Bhagavatam is a treatise of relationships. Everything here is about cultivating the spiritual relationships with Krishna and with other people. So we see from the first canto to the end of Srimad Bhagavatam, passing through the 10th canto with all the most intimate devotees, is all about showing how Krishna deals with so many types of devotees, and Krishna is always dealing with them in the most perfect way. So we have, for example, the Brihad Bhagavatamrita explaining the essence, the Amrita of Srimad Bhagavatam. But we don't have any summary of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not a summary, or it's not like a portion of Srimad Bhagavatam, like let's say it could be just the 10th canto, a summary, a study on the 10th canto, but it's not. Mr. Sanatana Goswami wrote the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. What was that essence, that Amrita of the Bhagavatam? The Amrita was just the relationship of Krishna with so many types of devotees, all kinds of devotees. So first Narada Muni is trying to understand who is the best devotee, and he goes on and on and on trying to find all the devotees and ask them, okay, are you the best devotee? And they say, no, I'm just a small devotee, you go to someone else. No, and like that, the Pandavas are sending, Prahlad Maharaj is sending him to the Pandavas are sending him to Narada Muni? No, sorry, Narada Muni is there, then the Pandavas send him to, I don't remember the sequence, but they go from one to another, sorry, for the Yadavas, and it goes on and on and on until the Gopis, no? But the idea is that in the end he wants to know, so who is the perfect devotee, which of these devotees is perfect in their relationship with you? And the conclusion is that all of them are perfect, they're all perfect. No, for Hanuman, being a servant of Ramachandra is perfection. Even though he says, okay, go and see the Pandavas. But he doesn't want to go and be with the Pandavas because he's attached to serve Lord Ramachandra. So for each devotee, according to his own nature, he the best position for him is that in which he can exchange his particular rasa with Krishna. So that happens for all the devotees. No? Even sometimes when we see a devotee who is apparently opposing the Lord, like Bhishma Deva, he's fighting against Krishna, he's shooting arrows at Krishna, and even when he's dying, he's meditating on Krishna in the chariot, driving Arjuna's chariot, and with his hair full of dust from the battlefield, and sweating because of great endeavor, and bleeding because of the arrows that Bhishma Deva is shooting. So he meditates on Krishna like that, fighting with Krishna. But that doesn't mean that he's Krishna's enemy. He's actually a great devotee of Krishna. Prabhupada explains that he's a devotee in Shantaras and he has a chivalrous mood. So he enjoys pleasure by fighting with Krishna. But Prabhupada explains that for Bhishma Deva to throw arrows at Krishna is just like for the gopis to throw rose petals. So it's like Puspanjali. No, it's no different from Puspanjali. Even though he's throwing arrows. So like that, all the devotees, they develop that relationship with Krishna very lovingly. And based on that, they can also love others, they can also develop a relationship with other people. Become well-wisher of everyone. So like that, here they're trying to see what's the best thing for all the citizens, what's the best thing for the king himself. They're being very soft, And if needed, they will be very heavy also with the king. Now that's the position of a saintly person. So I'll stop here. If anyone has comments or questions about these topics. Where's Mataji? Say something about discrimination.
You were talking about Prabhupada, how he discriminated in the story.
How he discriminates in the sense that sometimes he's very angry, sometimes he's very soft. It's always based on what is required for the devotee. The devotee, he needs some energy to be corrected from a mistake. Then he would be very heavy. He's not attached to always be good. Sometimes the person is the mode of goodness and he's always soft and he's always speaking softly and he's attached to the his reputation of being a saintly person, so he should be very, very compassionate and like that. But that's mode of goodness, but it's attachment, it's material attachment. And if it's required to be heavy and he's not heavy, that means he's actually not doing what's best for the other person. He's doing something because he's attached to that position. That everybody sees me as very soft and very gentle, and I like to be seen like that. But Prabhupada, no, he was ready to be very heavy. And sometimes the disciple wouldn't understand immediately. Just like sometimes the child cannot accept the father's chastisement. He thinks the father is very harsh, he cannot understand me, and why he's chastising me like that. But later on, they appreciate. Because they see actually it was for my good. So that the discrimination is to try to understand what is the best thing for this person now. And sometimes it's not easy to see. Sometimes it's difficult to understand. So we have to pray also to Krishna. Because the Paramatma will guide us. If you have the desire to actually help the other person, then Krishna will show what's the right thing to do in that particular moment. No? So it's not very easy, sometimes it's difficult, but if we have the desire, Krishna will help from inside to give the discrimination, when we have to chastise, when we have to be soft. It's okay, Mataji? Yes, Prabhu? Krishnarchan. Microphone? Oh, okay, next.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
I just wanted to ask you, because you mentioned the example of the point and the circle. So you mentioned that if we develop our relation with Krishna first, then all other relations hopefully will not crash. So my question is, to my understanding, I was thinking that we are with the devotees, relating with the devotees to get trained so that we can properly relate with Krishna.
Yeah.
I was thinking the other way around. So can you please?
Okay, so works both ways, huh? The devotees teach us how to relate with Krishna, because if we cannot deal with people, if we are very impersonal, how can we go to the spiritual world and how can we deal with Krishna there if we have aversion to dealing with people? So sometimes by our cultural background, we may not be very accustomed to dealing with people. We prefer to be alone, we prefer to avoid any kind of interaction, because then it can be peaceful. But then what kind of realization can you achieve? No, maximum you can get to the Brahma Jyoti and be very, very peaceful for millions of years, but we cannot learn how to relate with Krishna in the spiritual world. So the devotees, they sometimes put us to very difficult tests, but they're actually helping us to learn relationship. And also, unless you have, the other side is that if you don't have a proper relationship with Krishna, if you don't love Krishna, then we cannot love the devotees, because love is based on what? If it's just based on some material consideration, some bodily situation, oh, I love this person because he's my son, he's coming from my body, so I love him. Oh, I love this person because he's my wife. Oh, I love this person because he's this or that. So this is skin relationship. But the real relationship is the soul. And that is connected to Krishna. Because I love Krishna, because this person is also connected to Krishna, then I love this person. So that's the spiritual relationship. Now we can see that devotees they display different capacities of dealing with others based on their spiritual advancement also. No? For example, what is the characteristics of the neophyte devotee, the Kanishtha Adhikari? Kanishtha Adhikari is only able to deal with Krishna. He's between Krishna and himself. He cannot deal with other devotees. Maybe if he becomes a little more advanced, he can deal with Krishna, Guru and himself. But other devotees he cannot appreciate. So why is that? Well, actually, he has a very superficial relationship with Krishna and he's still very selfish. So because of that selfishness, then he cannot think about others. He doesn't develop that sarva bhutatma bhutatma, the capacity of placing himself in the position of other people and caring about other people. He doesn't care. Actually, he cares about himself. And because he depends on Krishna, he understood that he's dependent on Krishna, then he takes shelter of Krishna and of Guru. Others he cannot relate. He doesn't see the need. So it's very selfish like that. But when he advances a little more in his connection with Krishna, his relationship with Krishna, what happens? Then he starts being able to appreciate other devotees. And he's able to serve the Lord, like the Kanishtha Adhikari. He can appreciate and deal with other devotees like him. And if he sees others who are below his level, who are innocent, he can show mercy to them, be compassionate. But those who are envious, he's not qualified yet to deal with them. Because he doesn't have a genuine love and concern for those people. So if he deals with them, he's going to get angry. And that will be detrimental for his Krishna consciousness. He's actually becomes affected by anger. He's going to be degraded in his Krishna consciousness. So it's better he avoids the envious. He only deals with those who are favorable, who are innocent, or those who are equal to him, or with Krishna. But Uttamadhikari, then he loves Krishna. He's free from selfish motives. So he can actually be the well-wisher of everyone. So even if he sees someone like King Vena, okay, he's a mischievous person, he's created so much trouble, he's envious of the Lord, but still they want to see a way in which he can be engaged. So first they try to engage him as a king, and that doesn't work. So they take the best use of a bad bargain. His body can be utilized to generate Prithu Maharaj, so that's going to be good for him. So like that, they can be completely selfless, no ulterior motives, and therefore, because they have that close connection to Krishna, then they can preach to everyone. Okay, so Mataji, I hope, did that clarify the point? Yeah? Okay, any other comments or questions? Yes, Ragatya Mataji? Oh, Krishnarsha Mataji, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. I had a couple of questions. I have a couple of questions in this verse. First is here in the last line says Nasmam Stapatakam Spashet. The sages felt that if they punish or if they take disciplinary action against Vena prematurely or too early, then they might be affected by the sinful reactions or by the contamination. So can you explain how taking action against a person can actually contaminate or can cause the one who is punishing to be affected by the sinful activities of the person?
Okay, so Prabhupada says that by bad association one's spiritual life is destroyed, no? So by electing Vena to the throne, that was a kind of association with Vena. So that, in other words, they are responsible, they feel it's their responsibility. The minister, they knew he's not good. They didn't want, they were concerned in having Vena as the king. But approaching the queen, who was the executive power, representative of the king, so they decided to put him there. So they feel it's our responsibility. Therefore, if they don't do anything, they're going to be responsible. They're going to share the sinful reactions of King Vena. So that's they're afraid. Nas mãos tat patakans brishit. So let's try to enlighten him, because we put him there. Now we have to try to correct him, to enlighten him. If we don't do that, then we are going to share his sinful reactions, because we put him there. So that's the sharing. Now, you're saying if they don't try to correct him, but directly they try to just take him out, that's also wrong. Because if someone does a mistake and immediately you punish the person, but you didn't give a chance, you didn't explain the mistake. So that means you don't care about that person. You actually only care about yourself. Oh, he's doing something against what I wanted, so therefore let me kick him out. Let me kill him. So that means you're only concerned of yourself. And therefore, you're also acting wrong. So they are concerned about King Vena, even though he's mischievous, but they care about him. That's why they're going to try to enlighten him. Okay?
And the second question is, at times it is said that forgiveness, forgiving a person for his mistake, can be more effective than punishment. I mean, forgiveness and advice like this in this situation. But on the other hand, there may be situations where forgiveness doesn't work and one has to take disciplinary action. So where do we draw the fine line between when to forgive and when to take disciplinary action? Can you shed more light on that?
Okay, how to know when you have to punish or when you can forgive? So the bottom line is that we want the person to improve. So it's not that we hate the person, so let me make him suffer because he made me suffer, so now I want him to suffer. No, he's making something wrong. That's good for, like, if you are sarva bhutatma bhutatma, that means you can enter the heart of that person. You see he's acting like that because of his ignorance. And if you're sad, if you're sorry, because this person, he doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know. And it's good for, it's bad for him. He's going to suffer. So you want him not to suffer. Therefore, what you want? You want him to correct himself. It's not that you want revenge. Oh, he did something wrong against me, now I want revenge. No, you don't want revenge. You want him to correct himself so that now he's not going to suffer sinful reactions for that. So how to know when you have to punish, when you can forgive? Very simple. Did the person learn the lesson? If someone did something wrong and the person is repentant, he got the point, he understood, I did something wrong. So why do I have to punish? I remember once I was learning how to drive the car. So my father was teaching me how to drive the car. But I was still like 14, 15 years old. He was teaching me, but he told me, you never try to do it alone. You don't know yet, you're just learning, you don't try to do it alone. Okay? You only drive when I'm together with you. So one day, my father's not at home. My mother wants to go out. So I quickly said to my mother, okay, I'll take the car out of the garage. And I rushed and took the key and ran to the car. And she said, no, don't do that. And I ran and I started the car and I tried to take it out of the garage. So the problem is that it was automatic gate, a gate that opens and then after some time it closes again. And because I didn't have much practice, I took some time until I could put the back direction and then go with the car. And by the time I was in the middle, the gate closed on top of the car. So it got a little bit squashed, or how do you say? So my mother came very angry. And she took a piece of the car that fell on the ground and started beating me with that, no? And my mother is the soft person at home. So I understood that I shouldn't have done that. I don't know, I'm just learning. And my father told me I should not do it alone. And especially automatic gate and going backwards and it was such a mistake, no? But out of enthusiasm, out of eagerness to do that, so I decided to do. So I understood. I did very wrong. And my mother is very soft, but still she got so angry at me. When my father comes, I'm finished. So the whole day I'm just thinking, when my father comes back from work, I'm finished. No? I cannot even imagine what he's going to do because he told me not to do, and I did, and now it's going to cost a lot of money to fix the car. So, for my surprise, when my father came home, My mother explained everything, and she told him maybe that I was many hours in the room and very, very dejected and very depressed. My father said, he came to me and said, okay, these kind of things happen, don't worry. I couldn't believe, but basically he understood, he got the message already. I don't need to do anything else. So you see the distinction? If you see the person already got the point, he's feeling repentant, he learned the lesson, why should he punish? But if the person is shamelessly doing the same mistake again and again, is not learning, then you have to be strong. Because he needs that energy to correct himself. Okay? Yes, Prabhu? Microphone? Yeah.
You told that a real sadhu is one who does good to even a person who is against his interest. So is it the symptom of Madhyamadhikari or?
Madhyamadhikari is already capable of dealing with others and being compassionate and preaching like that. But the topmost is the Uttamadhikari, of course. He has full compassion, he has no selfish motive, so he can be the well-wisher even of his enemy. The Uttamadhikari can do that. For the Uttamadhikari, to some extent, he tries, he wants to be compassionate, but he has some limitations. He's not fully pure. Okay? Yes, Prabhu?
Hare Krishna. So my question is, previously when the king was, when the king was ruling, so everybody knows the rules and regulations. So just now, so you can see ISKCON is ruling.
Sorry, I can't hear. Before the king was what?
When king was ruling, so all the country, all the neighbors, they know the rules and regulations we have to obey. Means.
When King Anga was ruling?
Yeah.
King Anga or King Vena?
No, not Vena, I'm telling Vaidik Juga.
Before him, his father.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody knows the rules and regulations.
Yes.
And now ISKCON is ruling one third of. The four principles are there. And 16 round chanting. So the government, they are also ruling, no, the prime minister are there, all the countries, all over the world. So everybody knows. So what is your opinion? Why they are not changing their mood?
Oh,
I understood my point.
When King Anga was the king, then everything is going smoothly because the king is there, the rule is taking place, everybody is following the rules.
Yeah.
So nowadays?
The neighbors, they know, and the government, prime minister also they are giving, but
yeah,
they are not following. So what is your opinion? How can they change?
People are not following.
Not following?
Who is not following?
But they are still giving vote to them. Mm. So highly people are there, educated. IITs are there, IIM are there, so many officers are there.
Okay, so the principle is that when you have a good king, then those people who are good, they will be very happy and they will cooperate with the king in all respects, and those who are bad, they will be very careful because they know if I do something wrong, I will be punished. So both people, both types of people, they will be behaving properly. Some because they appreciate the king, they cooperate, others because they are afraid, because they know the king, he's good, but he's not weak. So a good king, he's compassionate, he's well-wisher for the citizens, but also he's very strong. And he can be very heavy to punish those who are mischievous. So like that. So when you have that kind of government in place, then everything is smooth. So if nowadays it's not smooth, it's because either they're not really well-wishers, other people, they're just selfishly trying to exploit their positions, or they are not strong. It's a weak government and people do so many wrong things. Like we see many countries, everybody is so corrupted because nothing happens. So if the king is strong, the government is strong, then those who are thieves, they have no place. So like that, both things have to be there. He has to be a well-wisher, he has to be also strong. Yeah. Yes, Mataji?
Hare Krishna, if you'll allow Prabhu, I'd like to add something on the topic of forgiveness. Prabhu was asking if there is forgiveness and punishment, how they work together. In Jivadharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that actually forgiveness is inherent to bhakti. There cannot be bhakti without forgiveness. So punishment is a completely other matter. Forgiveness is always there for the Vaishnava. It's always there automatically. There's no question of it not being there. Punishment may take place or not for the person's upliftment.
Yes.
Just like when your mother chastised you, she didn't start hating you.
Yeah.
She only chastised you because you needed to be chastised. But there was no question of forgiveness ever not being there.
Okay. Yes, thank you, Mataji. So that's a very important point. Both Krishna and his pure devotees, they whatever they do is absolute. When they chastise or when they praise, it's the same. Because even when they chastise, it's like that. They are not actually hating the person. They are out of love. They are externally showing some behavior which may appear to be harsh, but it's actually lovingly they are doing that for the benefit of the person. So they always forgive. There's no question of not forgiving. They always forgive, but then they act according to the necessity for the welfare of the person. Okay, thank you very much. So, we see all these examples here. We can try to apply them in our lives, no? How to more and more develop our relationship with Krishna, and how to more and more learn to how to deal with the Vaishnavas lovingly, doing always something, always acting for as a well-wisher of everyone. Okay, thank you very much. Grantaraj Mad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.